1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I want to talk to you this morning about honor, about the subject of honor. And right here in this scripture, we see three areas or three levels of honor that are revealed to us. The first one is to honor God. Well, it doesn't say honor God in there. Well, it says fear God. And it's pretty much interchangeable. And when we say fear there, it doesn't mean to be afraid of God, like, oh, I'm afraid of him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Fear and honor mean basically the same here. It means to respect. It means to esteem. It means to value. It means to place a high value on. It means to have great respect for. So number one, we want to honor God. And then number two, he says, honor the king. The king here represents, and we'll talk about an expanded version of honor the king, means delegated authorities in our life. The Bible says that kings and leaders, they exercise authority because God has delegated it to them. And so there are delegated authorities in our life that we should learn to honor. And then the third area, he says, honor all people. And so there's a place for that as well. So what is honor? What does it mean to show honor or to treat someone with honor? What does that mean when we say honor? What are we talking about exactly? Well, as I've said, it means to have high respect or esteem. It means to, the noun means high respect or esteem. The verb or the action part, it means to, this is what you do. This is what we do to honor someone. It means to regard with great respect. That's what honor means. It means to have high respect and esteem. It means to regard with great respect. That's what it means to honor. And as we look at what the scriptures say about honoring God, about honoring his delegated authorities, and about honoring all people here this morning, we'll get a greater picture and a clearer picture of what honor really means. And so honor begins by honoring God. So what does it mean then? About honoring. How are we to honor God, and what does it look like? Because honor begins by honoring God. You can't do this in the reverse order. If you don't honor God, you're not going to be able to honor his authorities. You're not going to be able to honor all people if you don't honor God first. So that's where it begins. Honor begins by honoring God. So how are we to honor God, and what does that look like? Well, we honor God. We honor God by putting him first in our lives. When you honor, when you bestow honor, one way to bestow honor is to say you're first. You know, last Sunday we had Brother Kim Clout here ministering, and we took him to lunch, and we found out that he liked Provino's, that was one of his favorite restaurants, and so we took him to Provino's, and so it's an Italian restaurant. So they brought out the big bowl of salad for us to start with, and you know what I did when they brought the salad? I said, Brother Kim, please serve yourself some salad. You know, we didn't say, you know, it was Robin and Wesley and me and then Brother Kim. We didn't say, well, here, guys, let's get us some salad. If there's any left, we'll let Brother Kim have some. Well, that would be rude, wouldn't it? That would be dishonoring. So I wanted to honor him. He was our guest speaker here at church. He came and ministered and blessed us. And I wanted to honor him. It's just the courteous thing to do, the honorable thing to do, to say, no, you have some first. Well, put that on a bigger scale. That's the way we're to look at God. If we're going to honor God, we're going to say, dear Lord, you have some first. Oh, praise the Lord, got my paycheck. I got paid today. It's Friday. I got paid. Lord, here, you have some first. Before I go pay this bill, before I go buy groceries, before I do whatever, Lord, you have some first. That's honoring him. That's honoring him. Not serving him the leftovers. I mean, what if an important individual, someone that you consider an important individual, was coming to your house for dinner? You know, I thought about who we could say for this. And since it's football season and this guy's an honorable man, let's say Coach Mark Richt was coming to your house for dinner, and his wife, and he pulled up in his F-150. Is he still driving F-150? Used to do commercials for them. So he pulls up in his F-150 in your driveway, you know, or you know he's coming, you know he's on the way. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, honey, let's see here. If we got any leftovers, you know, from earlier in the week. We'll just, you know, I don't think we ate all that chicken casserole two nights ago. There's still some of that left. And we've got, you know, we had Taco Bell three nights ago, and you know, we had two tacos left over. Let's just give him that. Would you do that? Would you serve someone important or someone that you esteemed as important come into your house for dinner? What would you do? Man, you would fix the best meal you could fix, wouldn't you? I mean, would you serve it on paper plates? No, you'd get out your best china, your best dishes. You'd make sure the house was clean, everything was in order. Why? Because you want to honor that person. Amen. Well, that's the way we should treat God. That's the way we should look when we talk about honoring God, and we should honor God. We should honor Him. Look at this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. In the Message Bible, it says it this way, honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Now, He's not asking for everything. He just, in the scripture concerning our finances, He just said that this 10%. I'll let you keep 90, He says. But give Him the first and give Him the best. Amen? And that would apply not only with our money, but that would apply with our time, with our abilities, with our gifts, with all of our resources. Too many times we give God our leftovers, our leftover time. Well, if I have any time left today, I'll read my Bible. If I have any time left today, I'll pray. Pastor, we'd like to come to church, but we just don't have enough time to do that anymore. No, honor God by giving Him your first and your best. Your time, your resources, your abilities. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So that's one way that we honor God. You know, another way that we honor, that we show honor, is to simply acknowledge someone's presence. If there's someone that we want to honor, we'd say, well, it's wonderful, you know, it's wonderful to see Brother Tom this morning. We're so glad that he's recovered and he's doing well. Praise God, Tom. We love you and we appreciate you. We acknowledge their presence. You ever felt dishonored? They didn't even acknowledge I was there. You ever felt that way? You feel like, why did they do that? They dishonored me. Well, to honor God means to simply acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge His presence. I appreciate Lizeth in leading us in worship this morning. She said, Lord, we acknowledge Your presence here. You know, she led us to acknowledge the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way we honor God, by acknowledging His presence, by acknowledging that He's in our midst. You know, there was a man years ago, centuries ago, actually, Brother Lawrence, that talked about practicing the presence of God. Well, he did that to honor God. He said, you know, I want to acknowledge that God is present. I want to acknowledge that God is here. I don't want to live my life that way. That I'm living in the presence of God. So that's another way that we honor God, by acknowledging that He's present. Amen. And by being sensitive to the reality of His manifest presence. Now God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere all the time, right? He's everywhere. God is everywhere. That's true. But then also, He manifests His presence. There are times where He will manifest His presence. And you'll know if you have any spiritual sensitivity about you at all, you'll say, God is here. God is here. Well, technically, in one sense, He's always, you know, he's everywhere. But then there's another aspect of it where He does manifest His presence, where His presence comes. And that's where we really need to learn to recognize that, and we really need to learn to honor His presence. When God says, you know, I'm not just here because I'm everywhere. I want to step through the veil, and I want to be with my people, and I want them to know my presence is there. Boy, we need to seize upon those moments. We need to recognize those times, and we need to say, hey, God is here. God is here. Let's hear what he wants to say to us. Let's let him do what he wants to do in our hearts and our lives in this moment. Amen? You know, I believe the more, when we begin to recognize that, the more that we seek to honor God, the more his manifested presence will be among us. You know, a lot of times with the dignitaries, whether they're, you know, leaders, heads of nation, heads of state, or whatever, you know, someone that are people that are in important positions in the nation or in the government or whatever, or in other nations, you know, leaders, kings, or heads of state of other nations. A lot of times, people dishonor these dignitaries, or they fail to give proper honor simply out of ignorance. You know, a lot of times people just don't know the protocol. They don't know what it means, what they're supposed to do, and they've dishonored, you know, just out of ignorance, they've dishonored this dignitary. I didn't mean to. I didn't know. You know, well, I think a lot of times we do that with God, that we've not taken time to understand the protocol that God operates with. Now, the Bible reveals it. The Scripture reveals it. So we need to learn that. Lord, what do you like? Lord, how should we honor you? Well, the Bible tells us different ways that we're to honor God. The Bible, one way is by the lifting up of our hands. That's why we encourage you to do that in worship. Why? You're honoring God. You're honoring God when you do that. That's why I like for us, you know, another way to honor an individual is when they enter the room to do what? Stand up. Do you ever think about why we stand up for praise and worship? Well, we don't want to wear the seats out. You know, we want these seats to last as long as they can. So for the first 30 minutes of the service, we're not going to use them. No, that's not why. It's a way to honor God. You know, I'm thinking back, you know, when I was a kid, the church we grew up in, we would sit down to sing, except on the last verse. Everyone stand on this verse. Everybody remember those days? Remember that? Well, we'd finally get around to honoring God. But I couldn't dream of, and again, if you're physically, if you're not able to do that, that's a different story altogether. We understand that, because we're going to get to it in a moment. It's not just outwardly what you do. It's what's coming out of your heart. If you're physically unable to stand or to stand for a period of time, God understands that certainly. Now, but I wouldn't dream of sitting through a worship service. I wouldn't dream of just sitting here, you know, during praise and worship and just kind of like, okay. I wouldn't dream of that. You know, I want to honor God. I want to stand and raise my hands and lift my voice and worship Him. Amen? That's a way to honor Him. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to recognize these in times of corporate worship. The worship leader. That's their title, worship leader. They're not the guy that does the singing. They're not the guy that sings for us. They're the worship leader. What does that mean? If there's a leader, that means there needs to be followers. If our worship leader is leading us in worship, then we ought to be worshiping too. If he's singing, we ought to be singing too. Lifting, why? That's a way to honor God. Come on. Amen. It would be a dishonor not to enter into worship. It would be a dishonor to be giving our attention to anything other than, or anyone other than God in those times and in those moments. Because we're gathered together to worship God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Same is true as the Word of God is being preached. You know, you're giving your attention. I sense it this morning. You're giving your attention to the Word of God this morning. You're listening to what's being, you're honoring, that's honoring God. That's a way to honor God. By listening to His Word. Amen? In fact, the Scripture talks about that. Jesus talked about that. So another way that we honor God is by honoring His Word. By honoring His Word. And this is huge. This is so important. Look at Mark chapter 7 and verse number 6. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He, Jesus, answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written," Jesus wasn't trying to win any popularity contest with the Pharisees, was he? No. He says, "As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So is that real honor? It's not, is it? So that's why I said, you know, that it's not, excuse me, it's not just the outward, but true honor flows from the heart. True honor comes from the heart. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How do you know? How do we know their heart was far from him? He says, in vain they worship me. The next verse. They're worshiping God, but it's in vain. They're not connecting with God. It's not bringing him any honor. It's not bringing him any glory. It's not bringing him any satisfaction. In vain they worship me. Why? Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And then in verse 9, he said, all too well, he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So what was the problem here? What was the problem? They were putting the teachings of men on the same level, or even above, in some cases, the Word of God. To honor God means that we honor His Word, and if we honor His Word, it means the Word of God is first place in my life. It means the Word of God is the final authority in my life. It means I can't say, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but. You ever heard anybody say that? You ever said that? You ever thought that? Yeah, I know the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but. That's what they were doing. Yeah, we know the Scripture says that, but our tradition says this. Jesus said, you're setting aside the commandment of God that you may keep. You're rejecting the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Well, it might not be with tradition, but it might be with popular. Yeah, Pastor, we know the Bible says that, but people just don't believe that today. And if you believe that, if you say what the Bible says, they're not gonna receive that. Well, if we're going to honor God, we're going to honor His Word. And we're going to hold on to what the Word of God says, and we're going to say, you know, this Word is the final authority in my life. I've got a decision to make. Well, what does the Word say about that? This is what the Word says. It's clear. Yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but I want to do this. You're not honoring God. You're not honoring His Word. Amen. We honor God by honoring His Word, by making His Word. I'm so thankful that we came into the deeper things of God and the Word of Faith, what was called the Word of Faith movement, and man, it was just emphasized so strongly. The Word of God is final authority in your life. Put the Word of God first place. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Well, that's not just for a particular movement in time. That's for every generation. That's for all time. We honor God by honoring His Word. What does His Word say? Well, I don't know what the Word says. Well, that's part of our problem there. We need to find out. One way to honor the Word of God is by taking time to read it and study it. We have time to read all kinds of other things, don't we? Amen? We should take time to read to find out what God is saying. Well, I read it one time. Well, I don't know about you, but I have to keep reading it. Amen? I have to stay in it. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing, the Bible says. Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. That's a continual work. Amen? So we honor God by putting His Word first place in our lives, by making the Word of God the final authority. If the Word says it, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. If the Word says it, that's how I'm going to live. If the Word says it, that's what I believe. If the Word says not to worry and to cast my care on Him, that's what I'm going to do. I refuse to worry. So one of the first things Brother Hagin shared, that one of the first lessons he learned even before he was healed, he was reading where Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, He says, take no thought, do not worry about your life. And he said, Lord, I can't do that. He quit reading the Bible for a while. He was a teenager, and he was still paralyzed, still sick, and on the sick bed, couldn't get up. But he had gotten saved, and started reading the Bible, and he got to Matthew chapter, started in the New Testament. He said, doctors told him he would probably die before too long. He says, well, I don't know that I have time to start in the Old Testament. I'm going to start in the New Testament. because it might not last that long. So he started in Matthew, made it over to Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew 6, where Jesus talked about not worrying, take no thought for your life, and don't worry. He said, Lord, I can't do that. He said, I come from a family of world champion warriors. But the Holy Spirit helped him and taught him, no, you don't have to worry. If my word says not to worry, then you can do that. Amen. That's the attitude we ought to have. That's the way we honor God. God, if your word says it, I can do it. If your word says it, I can believe it. If your word says this is who I am, that's who I am. Amen. We put the word first place. We make it the final authority in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This tells us about some folks that did that. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he says, For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, this is Paul writing to the Thessalonican believers, he said, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. If you will receive the word of God this way, if you'll accept it not as the word of man, but if you'll put it on a higher standard, the word of man's down here, word of God is up here. Man may be saying this, God says this. If you'll accept that, if you'll look at it that way, that word will effectively work in your life. Hallelujah. It'll bring you blessing and provision and healing and deliverance and peace, whatever you need. Amen. It will effectively work in you when you honor it. This is the word of God. This is the final authority. This is first place. Amen? Praise God. The second level, so we honor God. That's the first level. The second level of honor is to honor God's delegated authorities in our lives. We need to honor God's delegated authorities in our lives. Everybody still on board with me? Kids, we're glad you're out. Y'all still listen to me? I'm about to get something very important that y'all need to hear, so stay with me. So when it comes to honoring God, you know, that can be kind of easy for us because He's perfect, isn't He? I mean, we know that God is perfect, but we're also called to honor, and remember, honor means to regard with great respect. We're also to honor delegated authorities in our lives. These are people. These are men and women that occupy certain roles and positions, whether it be in a government position or whether it be in a family or whether it be in church. And these are all occupied by human beings that, guess what, are not perfect. So sometimes it's more challenging to honor God's delegated authorities, isn't it? But we're still told to do that. Peter said in our opening text, Peter said, honor the king. Honor the king. Most of the kings of that day were very ungodly. In fact, one of them had put Peter into prison. His name was Herod. Herod had arrested James, had him killed, and was planning to do the same with Peter. Peter was put in prison, was arrested there. And you know the story in Acts chapter 12. Is it 12, right? In Acts chapter 12, how the angel of the Lord came and opened up the prison doors, chains fell off Peter, and he came out, you know, set free. He was arrested by this king. A lot of these kings are corrupt and ungodly, but Peter says, honor them. Yeah, but what if that, you know, God will take care of that. God took care of this king. If you keep reading Acts chapter 12, you get to the end of the chapter, and this king Herod, he gets up and he makes a speech one day to these people, the people of Tyre and Sidon. And as he's speaking, these people start crying out because they want his favor. They said, the voice of a God and not of a man. Herod said, that's right. The Bible says after he accepted that and allowed them to call him God, the Bible says, and we don't know how much time passed in between though, but it says an angel of the Lord struck him. And he, get this, kids, he was eaten by worms and died. Ugh. God took care of him. See, our job is to honor. Peter said, honor the king. God will take wicked kings, ungodly kings, God will take care of them. Amen. God will deal with them. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So you don't need to be afraid, kids. You don't need to be afraid that you're going to be eaten by worms and died unless Somebody calls you God and you say, yeah, that's right, I am. Then you might ought to be concerned about it. So just don't allow anybody to call you God and don't accept it if they do, okay? Because you're not. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a God and you're not him. Praise the Lord. So Peter, and there was a time where Peter was faced with a dilemma, though. He says, honor the king. And we could expand that. Honor the delegated authorities. Those would be government officials. Those would be leaders in many different realms. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, Peter's faced with a dilemma here. The religious leaders of his day, after this lame man is healed, and after they've been preaching about Jesus, the religious leaders, the council, they call Peter and John in. In verse 18 of Acts 4, it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. What's the dilemma? God said, go and tell. Jesus said, go and preach. But they're saying, no, you got to shut up. You can't speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. They said, well, you're going to have to judge that one. God told us to speak. God told us to preach. God told us to go in His, Jesus told us to use His name. Verse 20, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So what do you do? What do you do if there's a conflict? God has told you this plainly. And I'm not talking about you just imagining it. Well, I know we're supposed to obey the laws, but God told me I didn't have to. God told me it was all right for me to speed. I'd be careful about that one. I'm talking about something that's plain and clear in the Word of God, and then a delegated authority under God has says, no, you can't do that, and no, you won't do that, and we forbid you to do that. What do? You have to obey God, don't you? You have to appeal to the higher authority, who is God, and the higher authority, which is His Word. If His Word commands us to do it, then we've got to do that, regardless of what the delegated authority may say. Amen. And so that's what they did. Verse 42 of Acts 5 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. But on the other hand, Peter never spoke disrespectfully to these leaders. You know, David, another example of this is King David. In the Old Testament, David was being hunted down like an animal by the guy that was king at that time. His name was Saul, wasn't he? And David was being hunted by him, and David had opportunities to kill Saul. David was hiding in a cave, and Saul came into the cave, didn't know David was in there. I mean, he was right beside him. David could have killed him. In fact, David was so close that he did cut off a part of his robe. So he could have killed him. They said, well, David, why is David's followers said, David, why didn't you kill him? He's right there, you know, in your hands. You could have killed him. I will not touch God's anointed. I will not touch God's anointed. David had respect for that office that Saul was in, that God had placed him in. Even though Saul was disobeying God, even though Saul was on the being rejected, God had told Samuel, I've rejected him from being king. He was still in that place. He was still in that position. So David said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to touch him. He still respected him. If you look at the story of the fiery furnace, remember, I like to use their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some people know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that story about how King Nebuchadnezzar had erected for himself a golden image that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and all the people, when the music played, when the band started playing, all the people were to bow down and worship that golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stood. Everybody else is bowing, and here three men are standing. Boy, they're sticking out like a sore thumb. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, fellas, I don't understand what you're doing here. And they came before the king, and they did not speak disrespectfully to him. They said, you wicked, you old buzzard, you wicked thing. We're not going to obey you. No, they said, oh, king, here's our position. And they spoke very respectfully to him, but they said, King, you have to understand, we honor God. We only bow to him, and we only worship him. To worship you would be to dishonor him, for he is the only true and living God. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar says, all right, then, you're going in the fiery furnace. And he threw them in, but what happened? God delivered them, didn't he? God delivered them. In fact, this is not in our in the notes that I gave you, Charlene, so I don't know if you can find it, but look at Psalm 91 with me. If we can pull it up, verse, I think, 14 maybe. In Psalm 91, listen to what God says. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. They had a promise. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had this promise from Psalm 91 as they went into the fiery furnace. They may have been quoting this, I don't know. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Look at that. See, God says in the Old Testament, he says, those who honor me, I will honor. Because they chose to honor God and put God first, God says, all right, I'll honor you. When they came out, listen, when they came out of the fiery furnace, you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar rushed to their side, and it says that he promoted them, and he gave them honor, and he gave them greater authority in his kingdom. They were honored. God caused them to be honored because they honored God. If you want to be honored, then you make sure that you honor God. And then we are. But again, they did not speak disrespectfully to King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, oh, King, here's our position. Proverbs 24, verse 21, this is out of God's Word translation. It says this, fear the Lord, my son. Fear the king as well. And again, that doesn't mean be afraid of them. It means to respect them. It means to honor them. It means to esteem them. So first of all, fear the Lord. He says, fear the Lord, my son. Fear the king as well. Do not associate with those who are always insistent upon change. Some other translations say it this way. Do not associate with the rebellious, the defiant, and the mutinous. Amen. You know, we shouldn't associate with folks that are always trying to overthrow the government. You can get in some real trouble with that. Now, our founding fathers, they did reach a place where they said, you know, we just can't live under this king anymore. But they said, we're doing this. You read their writings. They said, we are doing this. We have prayed, and we're doing this as we know this verse is here. And we're doing this as an absolute last resort. They had other scriptures. You have to balance. You have to interpret scripture in the light of other scripture. And they felt like they had, and I believe they did have the leading of God to do what they did, and that God obviously honored and blessed what they did by his supernatural protection and deliverance and in the founding of this nation. But he says, don't associate with those who always insist upon change. Well, we don't like the way things are, whether it's with our government, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your home. We don't like the way things are. We just need to change everything. We just need to change everything in our government. We just need to change everything in this church. We just need to change everything in our home. Well, don't be so quick to do that. Amen? There may be times where change is necessary and change is right. But he says, don't, you know, that's why this nation has endured and has been stable for all these generations because of that. You look at other nations, and they've got a new government. They've got a new leader. You know, somebody takes power, then he gets overthrown. There's a military coup, there's a coup, and the military takes over. You know, the military general becomes the president. Somebody kills him. And these nations are in chaos and turmoil and poverty And the only all the resources are skimmed off the top just by the by whoever is in power, and the rest of the people are left destitute. We've been spared all of that because of this principle here that our nation has adhered to. Fear the Lord and fear the king, and do not associate with those who insist on change, who just want the defiant, the rebellious, the mutinous. Amen. So the point is this. We should respect and we should follow God's delegated authorities. Now, kids, listen. Are you still with me? All right. Here's another aspect of delegated authority. Your parents. Your parents are God's delegated authorities in your life. So if you're going to honor God, then you're going to honor your parents. You can't say that you are honoring God and you're following God if you dishonor your parents, because they're God's delegated authorities in your life. God gave you parents to train you, to take care of you, to raise you up, and to help you mature and to become the people that He wants you to become so you can fulfill His great plan and purpose for your life. God gave you parents for that. Amen. Scripture talks about that. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." This scripture, we're reading it out of Ephesians here. It's first given in the book of Exodus. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. Paul says here it's the first commandment that's got a promise attached to it. Most of the Ten Commandments don't have a promise attached to them, but this one does. He says if you honor your father and your mother, if you honor God's delegated authority in your life, your father and mother, the Bible says it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. That's the promise associated with it. So it says children obey, and then it says honor. So obedience is important, but honor is even more important. And honor is to continue, even after you've moved out of the house and you're on your own and you've started your own family, that honor of your parents, honor of your father and mother is to continue. The relationship may not be where you should obey them anymore, but it should be where you would continue always to honor them. Amen? And honor, as we said earlier, honor is an attitude of the heart. That's why even as a child, it's not important just to obey your parents, but it's important to honor them. Because you can obey with a bad attitude, can't you? Amen. Well, they said to do it, and I'm going to have to do it, but I don't like it, and I don't want to do it, but I guess I'll do it. You have a bad attitude with that. Well, obedience is important, but God says in the Old Testament, He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Honor is even more important than obedience, because honor is an attitude of the heart. Honor comes out of the heart. True honor comes from the heart. It means to regard with great respect. Honor your father and mother. You know, and again, as you grow older, as a child grows older, you realize, you know, that your parents aren't perfect. Now, I know my kids, they've never reached that point yet. And I pray they don't, but... Oh, no, Wesley just heard me say that. Spill the beans. Don't you, you know, remember that, guys? You know, growing up as kids, you realize, hey, I thought my mom and dad were perfect, but they don't know everything. In fact, you might know some things they don't know. I can't believe my mom and dad are so stupid, they don't even know how to download a song. Listen, they might not be up on all the technology, but they've got wisdom and they've got life experience. Amen. Hallelujah. And beyond that, God appointed them to be an authority over you, to help train you up, to give you guidelines and parameters and safeguards, and to help train you up to be the person that He's called you to be. Amen. So when we honor God, we have to honor His delegated authorities, and that means our parents. Amen. The Bible says Jesus was obedient to His parents. He gave us a great example of that. In Luke 2, verse 51, look at this with me. This is after Jesus had, you know, His family had come up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and they had left, and they thought Jesus was with some of the other family and friends, and they just went as a great group, and they were headed back to their town, to Nazareth. And they discovered after they'd been traveling a couple of days, hey, well, we thought Jesus was with y'all. No, He didn't come with us. You know, so they went back to Jerusalem. They found him in the temple. He said, did you not? He was 12 years old at the time. He says, did you not know that I should be about my Father's business? And so he was already, Jesus was already recognizing and sensing, you know, who he was and his call and his mission. And it was starting to burn in his heart. But verse 51 of Luke 2 says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Now, that took a lot of humility on Jesus' part, didn't it? I mean, here he is. He's their Savior. He's the one that created them. So you may think you know a little bit more than your parents, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You did not create them. Jesus created his parents. Jesus was God. Jesus was the one who is going to shed his blood to redeem his parents one day. And here he is at age 12, and the Bible says, when they came back, they said, son, come on, let's go home. The Bible says that Jesus said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. He was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and the next verse says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. If you want to increase in wisdom and in favor and in all these areas, then honor your parents. That's what caused Jesus to be blessed this way, is because it says he was subject to his parents. He honored them. He obeyed them. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, our final area here. So we honor God. We honor God's delegated authorities in our life. And then number three, it says honor, we are to honor all people. That's how that passage started in 1 Peter 2:17. It says honor all people. Honor, another thing about honor means to place value upon. It means to place value upon. We are to see people, in other words, honoring people means that we're to see people the way that God sees them. And you know what? God placed honor on every one of us when he sent Jesus to the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He paid the highest price. Why? Because he placed so much value on you and me. He said, Jesus, they're worth it. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to go to the cross. You're going to have to bear their sins. They're worth it to me. They're worth it to me. Hallelujah. So God placed a high value on us by sending Jesus. Amen? And that's for whosoever, isn't it? That's for the whole world, isn't it? He places value upon every person. I like the way the Message Bible reads here in 1 Peter 2:17. Look at what it says here. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. That's how we are to honor all people. We're to recognize that they're valuable. We're to recognize Jesus died for them. We're to recognize that they're important to God, that they're loved by God, and we're to treat every person we meet with dignity. With dignity. Listen, there's never any place, and boy, this is, I don't know how it is now, but you know, this was bad when I was in school, when we were growing up in school. You know, there would be kids that would just be ridiculed all the time. Although the kids would laugh at them because they were different for some reason, or they didn't have what some of the other kids had. But there's never any place to ridicule or to make fun of or to look down upon another human being. Amen. Never. Never any place to ridicule someone or to look down upon them or to make fun of another human being. They're made in the image and likeness of God. We are to honor all people. Everyone. Now that doesn't mean that we agree with them, that we agree with their lifestyle, or we agree with what they believe, but it does mean we're to see them as an individual that Jesus died for, and we're to love them. Amen? This is why we believe in the sanctity of life. This is why we believe that abortion is wrong. We believe that every life has meaning and has value, that from conception, there's a life there that's valuable. And that's important, and that has meaning. And we believe in the worth of every individual. Again, going back to our founding fathers, as they put it, they said, all men And he's talking about mankind. He's talking about men, women, children, boys, girls, everybody, every human being, all men. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. It ought to be clear. It ought to be evident when you look around, when you look at they were looking at the world from a Christian worldview, from a Bible worldview. These truths are self-evident. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Amen. We see every individual. Jesus said, honor all people. We see them as individuals that God loved enough to send Jesus to die for. Hallelujah. Amen. Treat everyone you meet. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. But it starts by honoring God. When you honor God and you honor His Word, as in that Word then is going to have an impact on your way of thinking, to where you say, you know, I've got to see the world the way God sees it. I've got to think about people the way God thinks about them. Amen. So we honor God, we honor His delegated authorities in our life, and we honor all people. Praise God.